In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to begin something new here, and this is from the book, The Role of the Priests in the Divine Will. And it took years to put this thing together, at least 10 years, because this is one of the most important books when you look at the volumes of Louisa, there is so much in the volumes. When Jesus speaks, being the Word, this Word, every word that he speaks, it's like a library that will go on eternally, because as we read, as we study, he continues to expand our capacity to begin to understand what he is saying as the Lord. And he says to Louisa, this is the language of heaven. And with any language, it takes a little bit of time to learn it fluently. And so the more that we read each day, the more the Lord can reveal what he has planned for his holy church. And the priesthood, Jesus says, is the most important part of his church. And he says he has more suffering because of the priesthood. So what we see happening in the church today is God repairing the church. He's purifying the church. He's purifying the priesthood. And as we know, many of the saints have said that the pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of priests. And the reason is they have an awesome responsibility. A priest, a pastor, as a matter of fact, is in charge of his flock, but also he is in charge of all the people. If anyone in his parish is lost, the Lord is going to say, "What did you do to help this soul? What did you do to help this soul get into heaven?" And that's everybody. The Jews, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants, the atheists. The Lord wants everyone in heaven. And he says to the priest, you are in charge. I went to one ordination a few years ago. And after the ordination, there was a celebration. And the priest came out and he says, everyone here in this room is important to me. Jesus has asked me to help bring you to heaven. And he says, and this is what I'm going to do. I never heard such a beautiful homily, if you want to say, right after ordination. He basically said, this is my job, is to get you into heaven. This is what I'm called to do by God. So right now the church is going through some sufferings, and it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be angry about. It's what has to take place. The church has to go through what it's going through right now. And I think that this book here, The Role of the Priest in the Divine Will, is essential for the priests today. As they begin to read this and study this book, they begin to understand that it's not a job. The priesthood is not a job. And Adam was the first priest. And if Adam had said to Eve, you were wrong, and, you know, we have to turn back to God, we wouldn't be in this mess. But because Adam failed to be that priest, Jesus comes to earth as the high priest. He comes to teach again what priesthood is about. And what we see in this first part here, we're going to start on page 26, if you have the book. It's the call of the priest in the most holy divine will. He says, I supplicate that these make the house of reunion. So these priests make the house of reunion, saving for me the priests who shall come to into these shelters. So one of the things that's so essential is the priests who are becoming third order Benedictine, they take a name, and then that you're supposed to take not only a name, but also of something. So all the priests who have become third order Benedictines of the divine will, and you don't have to be, but they said that, they're, you know, Father Elijah of the house of the reunion of the faith. And so every priest is recognizing that what God wants is for the priests to work together for bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So what the Lord said is, he said to Louisa that the priests will use the rule of St. Philip Neri. Now, the rule of St. Philip Neri is the rule of love. And to enter into this army of love that's going to conquer the world. Jesus says, I'm going to wage war against mankind, but it's not a war of blood, it's a war of love. And mankind will not be able to turn me away. So you can imagine what's coming, what the Lord has planned. And what he has said very, very clearly is that this war of love, that's the divine will. And the more we enter into this divine will, the more we begin to realize that why we are here is to get to heaven. Why we are here is to draw closer to the things of heaven and no longer the things of earth. And so this is what Jesus says. I supplicate, I pray, I beg that these priests make the houses of reunion, saving for me the priests who shall come into these shelters, and through these few good ones shall my church recover from her agony. So the church is going through some very difficult times, but it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be fearful of. We are filled with confidence, filled with trust. The final devotion that God gave to his church through St. Faustina, the final devotion was to turn to Jesus, divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. See, we're going to go through some really tough times. And we were called to live at this time. We have to remember, like especially St. Joan of Arc, what she said, I was born for this time. We are born for this time. We have everything at our disposal, Jesus says. You know, with the Holy Church, with the sacraments and sacramentals. Oh, that's the other thing too. If you want to buy a book for a priest, buy the Roman ritual. It's filled with blessings. And when the priest begins to understand that their role is to bless, see, there's curses and blessings. There's a lot of curses out there. But our job as a priest is to bless things. And you should always ask a priest for his blessing, because it's Jesus's blessing. And this is important for the priest to recognize that they are ambassadors for Christ. They are alter Christus, another Christ. Their blessing is important. I've seen so many healings take place, especially with holy oil, especially the anointing of the sick. Through confession, I've seen healings happen. People physically change because of confessing their sins and being forgiven and receiving absolution from the priest. Spiritual communions, physical communions, people are changed drastically. Homilies that the priests give change a soul right from the depth of their heart. It's the Lord is asking the priests to begin to be priests in a way that most have not even thought about. I remember the first time I saw a person who was possessed, really possessed, and the priest came over and touched the person. I was praying. I remember the first time they said, Father, pray. And they pulled me down and, you know, kneeling next to this person who was possessed. I couldn't think of a word. I couldn't think of bless us, the Lord, and these like gifts. And this priest came over and touched the head of this person. Instantly, the person became human again, rational. When I looked at this, I said, I wasn't taught this in the seminary. I what is this power that he has? What is this? And I really began to investigate, you know, first of all, Opus Sanctorum Angelorum, the work of the holy angels, and then continued to study. And like today's reading, on the Feast of St. Luke, it says, commanded the apostles to go out and to basically heal, get rid of the demonic. Our Lord loves us very much, and he has given us the power of the priesthood for the Holy Church. And Jesus says there'll only be a few that will be able to do this. And it's not to be upset. It's God is going to do this. He says, so Louisa says, I don't see any priests. And Jesus said, I started out with 12. And if I have to start out again with 12, he says, I will do it. But then he said this, but there will be an army of priests, an army of priests that are going to do this. We are at war. You have to understand. And the evil one thinks he's going to win. He thinks he's going to beat God. Such foolishness. God is going to win. And God is asking the priests to really begin to understand this power of the priesthood. And this is why what he says here, the houses of the resurrection of the faith is what he's asking for. Jesus to Louisa, he says to St. Honorable de Francia, my son, the title you shall give to the book you are about to print in my divine will, about my divine will, is this: the kingdom of my divine will in the midst of creatures, book of heaven, the call of the creature to the order, to the place, and to the purpose for which the soul was created by God. This book of heaven, all I can say is, there are many, many books out there. This is what Jesus says. There are many, many books out there. This is the only book that will transform a soul. What I have seen over the years is it's really true. We have some beautiful books out there. Great saints, St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, St. Catherine of Siena. We have great, magnificent saints, St. Faustina. But what Jesus teaches Louisa, he says, I have taught no one until this point. He says, what I give to you, Louisa, is the life that Adam had before the fall. So we have to figure out or think about what was Adam's DNA like? What was the DNA of Adam? Well, all the animals, the vegetables, and the minerals in paradise in the Garden of Eden looked at Adam and saw the image and likeness of God. When God breathed into the dust, there was no limit. He could breathe as much as he wanted into this dust. And what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. We say Adam, but in a way that just diminishes, oh, he's just another human. No. Adam was in God's image and likeness. And when he fell, with the original sin, it took the Son of God to come to earth. It took the Mother of God to come to earth. The new Adam and the new Eve, to what? To bring about this redemption, the kingdom of redemption. And Jesus tells Louisa, the reason I brought the kingdom of redemption is to get the world ready for sanctification, to get ready to return back to the image and likeness of God. So through holy baptism, we enter into God's image. And now with this great gift of the divine will, we re-enter into the likeness of God. And this is why Jesus says the book of heaven shows you how and why the kingdom of God is to come on earth as it is in heaven. And when the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, and again, this is very important, Jesus says that the evil one, was banished from heaven. When heaven comes to earth, he will be banished from earth. What does that mean? No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. That's what's coming. That's what God is trying to get the world ready for. This is why it's so essential that we understand why God gave us the Holy Church. God gave us the Holy Church to prepare us for the kingdom of God on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. And he tells Louisa, I want no difference between heaven and earth, except for those in heaven have already died. Those on earth are living, and they're living in the divine will as the saints are in heaven, but they can do their acts and the rounds, which the saints without a body can't do this anymore. So what God is asking of us is to get ready. So what happened 40 days after Louisa died, 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. 40 days after Louisa died, Our Lady descended to earth, Our Lady of Revelation, an approved apparition in the church. And when you go to Rome and you go to Trefontaine, there is the image of Our Lady of Revelation. And she said to Bruno, the man who was planning to kill the Pope, she said to Bruno, why are you trying to harm my son? And he goes, who are you? He had no idea. And Our Lady says, she says, I am Our Lady of Revelation. In 2000, John Paul II renamed Our Lady of Revelation, Our Lady of the Third Millennium. And what does St. John Paul II tell us to do? He told us to get ready for the third millennium, the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. So Our Lady said to Bruno, Bruno, time has now come to an end. And Bruno goes, the end of the world? And Our Lady said, no, it's the end of time as we know it. We have ended this era, where this era is ending, and the new era is going to begin. This is why John Paul II, what did he say, at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, Our Lady said, no, John Paul II, Pope St. John Paul II said, he says, we are now going to enter a new and divine way of holiness, a new and divine way of holiness. And I, when I listened to him say that, I said, well, is he reading Louisa? I mean, this is what Jesus is saying. This new and divine way of holiness is coming. The kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. The reign of the evil one is coming to an end. This past summer, in July, the Chinese government said, we are celebrating our 100th anniversary as the Communist Party of China, which says to us, it's over. Why? Pope Leo XIII heard that when the conversation in 1884, that the devil said, give me 100 years. God said, it's yours. Jesus said, it's yours. We have to understand everything is changing. Everything is changing. And it's not falling apart. God's getting everything ready. And he's asking us to get ready for this new and divine way of holiness. He's asking us to get ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you look, the first Pentecost, you celebrate the first Pentecost in that season, the rhubarb and the strawberries and the asparagus. We are now going to celebrate soon this harvest time, where the church is going to rejoice in this great harvest that's coming. If you go to Israel during the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Sukkoth, everybody is dancing. For a week, a straight week, everyone is dancing. Everyone's having fun and excited because they're giving glory to God, their King. It's all preparing us for Christ and celebrating the glory of Christ, our King, the same time period. So Jesus is saying to us, this is what he says. My son, the title that you shall give to this book, you shall print, is about about my divine will is this. The kingdom of my divine will in the midst of creatures, book of heaven. The call of the creature back to the order, back to the place, back to the purpose for which mankind, humanity, was created by God. We're going to return to live in the image and likeness of God on earth. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So when you, if you've listened to The Dawn of a Mystery, this is the DVD, Archbishop Pichieri, he was the head of the cause of Luisa, which is completed, and they sent it to Rome, and they said, we believe Luisa should be canonized. What he says is, in the history of the church, there is no one who has ever explained how and why the Our Father is going to be fulfilled. He says, this is Luisa's job. And as you enter, as you begin to read this, as you begin to study this, you begin to understand there's no way to stop this. What's coming, nobody can stop what's coming. It's what's coming is very exciting. You know, if you've heard the best is yet to come, we haven't seen anything. What's coming is so glorious. Jesus gives hints of this in the writings. And this is what he says. He says, this is what God says. Jesus said to Luisa, see, I, God, want the title also to correspond to the great work of my most holy divine will. So we are learning little by little what this great work of God is. I want the soul, the creature, to comprehend that his place assigned to him by God Almighty is in my most holy divine will. Until the soul enters into it, he shall be without a place, without order, without purpose. He shall be an intruder in creation with no right at all, and therefore he shall go wandering about without peace, without divine inheritance. See, when you look at the writings of Luisa, volume 1 through volume 10, Jesus says, is to become a divine mirror of Jesus, which means how to become a saint. Volume 1 through volume 10 is a simple way, when you read and study and put it into practice, of how to become a divine mirror of Jesus, how to become a living saint. That doesn't mean you stop going to confession. You begin to know your life in great detail, your sinful life. A lot of people, when they go to confession, they confess these large, it's like sifting dirt. They don't have these large stones and this is my sin, this is my sin, this is my sin. Well, I'm done. Jesus says, look, now there's 10 smaller rocks. So then you confess that. And then God goes, look down. There's 100 smaller rocks. These are what God is trying to do, is to make us aware that he wants us to be pure, pure dirt. No pebbles, no stones, no rocks, no boulders. And so what happens is he begins to teach you how to go to confession. He begins to teach you how to be free of even your human inadequacies. The Lord is very... He's such a great loving God. He teaches us how to review our life every day and then go to confession. And little by little, you're weaned away from sinning. Nobody's there yet, but this is what God says is going to happen. He says, I'm waiting for the souls to begin to live this abundant life so that they can begin to live heaven on earth, peaceful, joyful, and happy. So what the Lord is saying is this. He says, he wants us to become a divine mirror. That's volume 1 through volume 10. To begin to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus says to Luisa, I've told no one about until now. Well, why is he doing that? It's like the men and women of the Old Testament. You know, Moses and King David and Elijah never received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Never received a confirmation and received the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit or the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Why were they, bad? No, it wasn't time yet. And then when Jesus came to earth, when Mary came to earth to give this universal life back, this Catholic life back to humanity, what happens? We begin to understand, to use the sacraments and sacramentals as a means of healing, a medicine for us. And now what Jesus is saying, he says, now is the time that we're going to enter into this time of this great time of the Holy Spirit, where we will be living through the power of the Holy Spirit, which the saints only dreamed of. See, the saints did the will of God. What Jesus taught Louisa, what Jesus and Mary taught Louisa, was how to live in the will of God. And you're going to see a great difference as you begin to read and study and put this into practice of what God is asking of us. So then, after that, what God wants us to be filled with, and he tells Louisa this, is volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. Now, what's something that's very, very interesting, 20 through 26 was hidden, 20 through 36 was hidden for 58 years. The writings were confiscated and brought to the secret archives of the Vatican. Now, it's not the secret archives. It means the personal property of the Pope. And my spiritual director worked there for many years, and he told me many, many things about it. And I happened to find myself there when the secretary of the cause asked me to go there. And we photocopied everything of Louisa, all her writings, because at that time, the Cardinal Ratzinger, we met Cardinal Ratzinger, and he was so happy that we were there. And Cardinal Ratzinger, he read the volumes. He read the Hours of the Passion of the Virgin Mary, and he wrote a personal letter to the Archbishop of Mexico City and said to them, to him, that the writings of Louisa, all the writings of Louisa must be published. The first books that, see how God works, the first books that were printed outside of Italy in 1930s, it was the German edition in Bavaria at the Benedictine monastery that Cardinal Ratzinger and his brother went to as children, as boys, before the war. And the priest that brought it there was Father Beda. And I how God works, I can imagine Father Beda saying to these two boys, here, read this. Because see, the books that Jesus gave to Louisa, when Jesus dictated to Louisa, is for children. When we read this, when we study this, it's exactly what Jesus says. You don't have to say, what does he mean by this? As you read this, God is very simple with the children, very direct with the children. And Louisa only had a first grade education, and she could understand this. And that's what God is going to do. He's going to teach us. So as you read, there might be some difficulty, like I said, because Jesus says this is the language of heaven. And with any language, you have to learn it. You have to become fluent in it to understand. We have these writings here are very, very good because the one who translated them was from Puglia, the dialect of Puglia. It's much different than the Roman dialect. For example, creatura, God always uses the word creature. When the creature comes in, I remember one man said to me, I'm not a creature. But in Puglia, creatura meant the baby who has fallen on the ground and is bleeding, hurt, badly hurt. Help the little creature. That's what they would say. That was just part of their dialect. Jesus says that when Adam sinned, he fell from such a height that it was a miracle that he survived. Now, when a baby falls into a well, or a little boy or little girl falls into a well, the parents are frantic until they can redeem the child, get the child out of the well, but they're still not happy. because the child is broken and bleeding, still hurt. They want the child to go back to where the child was before the fall. That's what Jesus says this book is going to do, what the church is going to do. Bring us back to where Adam was before the fall. So what you're going to learn, and this is something, you fall more in love with Jesus, you fall more in love with Mary. It's not for, we're not going to Louisa. We go to Louisa so we can know Jesus more. We go to Louisa so we can know Our Lady more. And I'll tell you honestly, you fall more in love with a new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. So Jesus says this, and I move to compassion for humanity, shall cry out to him continuously, enter into your place. So God wants to bring us back to where we were before the fall. Come into the order. This is divine order. This is not disorder anymore. Come to take your divine inheritance. See, God wants us to go back to what he has planned for Adam and for all the children of Adam. And because we fell, Jesus comes to earth. Mary comes to earth as the new Adam and the new Eve. And they say, finally, we found the newborn, Louisa. That's what they call Louisa, the newborn. And they say, Louisa, now we have found one soul who has the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. You're going to find when the miracles start happening with Louisa, you know, there was one miracle for John Paul II for his beatification, one miracle for John Paul II for his canonization. With Louisa, you're going to see thousands and thousands and thousands of miracles happening. Jesus says, I want everyone to know my little newborn. I want everyone to know who she is. So Jesus is going to do this. And I can't wait to see that begin to happen because it's already started. There are many, many miracles that have happened through Louisa. And what's coming is going to, like I said, we haven't seen anything yet. What God is going to bring about is going to astonish the world. So he says this. He says, come to take your divine inheritance, to live in your house. Why do you want to live in a foreign land? Why do you want to occupy a land that is not yours? And because it is not yours, you live unhappy. How many people are looking for happiness? How many people end up in hell looking for happiness? Jesus says, basically, true happiness is holiness. Now, every morning when we pray the breviary, the canticle of Zechariah, what we pray is to be freed from the enemy. That's when Jesus died on the cross, freed from the enemy. The second prayer, the second promise to Abraham, free to worship God without fear. Every one of us who went to Holy Communion today, every one of us, none of us were terrified. There was no fear in us at all. We received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. None of us were afraid. The second promise is fulfilled. The third promise to Abraham is to become holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of our life. Who is holy? God, God alone. Who is righteous? God alone. We're going to return back to the image and likeness. This is what Jesus says. He says, you want to occupy a land that is not yours. And because it is not yours, you live unhappy. True happiness is holiness. This is why you're happy after you go to, when you make a good confession. You're happy because you're freed of the misery of sin. You receive the absolution from the priest. And you are a servant and you are the laughingstock of all created things. Why is there earthquakes, floods, famines, plagues? It's because we're not in proper order. We're not living in the will of God as all of creation is. We are the laughingstock of all created things. Adam was the king of the earth. Whatever he said, he named all the animals. Whatever he said, that's what they were going to do. See, the life that God breathed into Adam, image and likeness of God, is what he wants to wants us to receive again. So he's going to show us the way and the how, especially the priests, so that they can lead the flock. Unfortunately, today, many people Protestantize this great gift of the divine will. I know there's some really nice lay people, but a lay person can't teach the reflection. When a priest is ordained, he's ontologically changed. He is called by God to proclaim the word. He's called by God to protect the Eucharist. There are three breads, Jesus says. There's your daily bread. There's the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And there's the first bread, the bread of the divine will that Adam lived. And Jesus tells Louisa, the reason I give the Holy Church the Eucharist is to prepare them for a perennial communion that Adam had before the fall, a perennial communion that Jesus possessed as the Son of God, a perennial communion that Mary possessed as Theotokos, Mother of God. And Jesus says that what he has planned is going to come back. The whole reason for Holy Mass, at the end of Holy Mass, you receive communion, you receive the final prayer and the final blessing. Why? The church does not want to interfere with your communion. For that 15 minutes, you're one with God until the host dissolves. And Jesus says to Louisa, I want my people to prepare themselves for that perennial communion that we're going to have in heaven. We are to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and worship God, glorify God. John Paul II wanted Eucharistic adoration in every parish. Why? He wants to bring about this new beginning that's coming for all of humanity. If we do not spend time in front of our crucified Lord, we complain. If we do not spend time in front of the Eucharist, now all of us, I know there are many churches that don't have Eucharistic adoration, but as you saw here, Peter had the adoration at Poland. Or the adoration in the Philippines. Every day you can spend time with your Eucharistic Lord. This is a glorious time to be with him, to see him. We see God. So what Jesus is asking is, let's go back to this universal life, this Catholic life. And he says, basically, stop being the laughing stock. He says, all things created by me, because they remain in their place, are in divine order and in perfect divine harmony and with all the fullness of their goods assigned to them by God. You alone, humanity, want to be unhappy, but it is a voluntary unhappiness. Therefore, come back to your place. It is there that I call. I, God, call you and await you. So here is what the Lord is saying. He wants us. He wants the priests to be the giver of the divine will, the first bread. That's what I mean. Don't Protestantize this. Father Bucci is the last priest who knew Louisa. And he was our spiritual father until this past year when he died. But what Father Bucci said, it would be as foolish for a lay person to say, I don't have the Eucharist, and go to their table and say, this is my body. This is my blood. And go, now I have the Eucharist. Jesus wants us to begin to understand the power of the priesthood. And this is why this whole series of the priesthood is essential, because of what we see happening all around, but what God has planned. This whole book, you're going to discover that this whole book is filled with what Jesus said he wants his priests to do. And you know, God bless everybody, but we're Catholic. And for us to receive this first bread, Jesus says, the priests must give this bread to the laity. That's what he says. So it says, therefore, he who shall offer to make my most holy divine will known shall be my spokesman, and I shall entrust to them the secrets of its kingdom. As we get into this, we're going to hear what Jesus says. Some people have changed some of these words here, and I don't know who did that, but he says very, very clearly that he is calling his priests to do this. Our job as priests is to bring people to heaven. That's our job. And this is why they say the pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of priests. A lot of priests have surrendered their ministry to the laity. And the laity are doing what the priest should be doing. It's all going to be returned to what God has planned from the beginning. The priesthood is essential for the Holy Church. And we're not Presbyterians. Presbyterian says everybody's a priest. We are Catholic. And this universal life, this Catholic life that God gave to Adam as a priest, he was the priest. As Jesus comes as the high priest, what Jesus says to Louisa, I'm going to restore my priesthood. I'm going to bring back to the church what God has planned from the beginning. Don't be worried or concerned about things that are happening. Everything is fiat. Everything is fiat. And what God is asking us to do is to enter into this abundant life. Why? So that God can accomplish what he has planned. And as we continue in these writings, you're going to be astonished of how much God loves us, what our God has planned. And you're going to get glimpses. This is the fun part. God gives you glimpses of what he is going to do. And it's not the full story. He's a good father. And he has infinite treasures for his children. And he is keeping everything secret and hidden because he's going to surprise us. All our job is just to remember what he said to St. Faustina. The final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. When we learn to say, Jesus, I trust in you, when we learn to say fiat in all situations, we are going to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. You're my Lord. You're my master. You're my king. You're my savior. You're my God. I trust you. You know what you're doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. You're in charge of everything, and I trust you. I believe in you. I have confidence in you. So what he has done with Louisa for those 70 years is he told her, he dictated to her this book of heaven. And when we were in the secret archives of the Vatican, I found on the pages, etched into the pages, the fingerprints of Louisa. She studied this. She learned this. She lived this. And that's what our God is asking of us. He's given us the book of heaven, which he said to St. Honorable de Francia, the kingdom of divine will in the midst of creatures, the book of heaven, the call of the creature, the order, the place, or the purpose for which mankind, humanity, was created by God. Good things are coming. And let's end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray for all the little children of the holy divine will, that they become divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.